the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Filling in for Danielle Leal, here's today's host, Taylor Hillman.
Good Monday morning, everybody, and welcome to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Thanks for starting your work week off with me. Taylor Hillman filling in for Danielle Leal, who is on assignment today. We've got an interesting show today. New information on another salmonella outbreak that's making regulators look at adjacent land use. We've heard this for the leafy green industries over the last several weeks. This one is from a report on onions stemming from 2020. We will also run California LGMA Chairman Dan Sutton's full interview about the issue later on in the show. Brian has details on COVID complications that are sticking around for markets even as things open back up. And he has some details on new technology being developed by a big name company that can grade produce visually. Danielle will also join us a little bit later with some concerns about the lack of trade deals as the Trade Promotion Authority expires. We've got all of that and lots more. Let's get to today's top story. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration released a report on the largest salmonella outbreak in more than 10 years. Federal and state agencies investigated the outbreak that took place between June and October in 2020. The outbreak stemmed from red onions sourced from the southern San Joaquin Valley and Imperial Valley. While no deaths were reported, more than 1,600 cases of illnesses were recorded in the U.S. and Canada, with 167 hospitalizations. FDA Deputy Commissioner for Food Policy and Response Frank Yannis said in a press release, quote, 11 of the environmental subsamples tested positive for various types of Salmonella Newport. However, none matched the outbreak strain. Although a conclusive root cause could not be identified, the FDA's leading hypothesis is that contaminated irrigation water used in a growing field in Holtville, California, may have led to contamination of the onions. Yannis went on to say, quote, considering these findings, the FDA encourages all produce growers to assess risks that may be posed by adjacent and nearby land uses, especially as it relates to the presence of livestock and the interface between farmland, rangeland, irrigation water, and other agricultural areas. The salmonella outbreak was the first time that whole red onions had been associated with a foodborne illness outbreak. A total of nearly 2,000 subsamples were tested during the investigation, one sediment and 10 water subsamples collected near one of the growing fields were positive for salmonella. The traceback investigation and subsequent on-site investigations found multiple areas where contamination could have occurred. Visual observations indicated sheep grazing on adjacent land or animal intrusion could have spread the contamination. Areas of the packing process also posed potential risks for contamination, according to the report, including animal and pest intrusion and food contact surfaces. The company responsible for producing the contaminated onions cooperated with FDA throughout the investigation and continues to work with the agency and its recommendations. Now here's Brian German.
While the major disruptions created by the COVID-19 pandemic are starting to wane, producers are paying close attention to market trends and other evolving issues. Although California's current lack of water storage and available water supply is a primary concern for farmers and ranchers, there are still some questions as to how markets are going to shape up with more and more sectors of the economy reopening. Fresno County Farm Bureau CEO Ryan Jacobson explained some of the industry concerns as issues related to COVID-19 begin to decline.
So as we come out of that post-COVID, world, what are we looking at as far as commodity prices? I mean, for the most part, most of our commodities here locally saw a drop last year, in some cases, very significant radical drops. And so there's a lot of attention being paid to, for those commodities very dependent upon export markets. What do those look like? How are we doing on trade? There is a massive issue right now for some commodities and having available cargo loads being able to be shipped out on boats to those export countries, just having the containers available in many cases has been a very dire situation for folks that have markets to get their product to, but just don't have the ability to get those products there. And so really trying to bring all that together and try to come out of this post-COVID, recession that ag has definitely felt in regards to the adjustment to our commodity prices there. And we're hoping that we're going to see a strong rebound for those markets as they continue to, open back up in this post-COVID world.
Amazon is currently working on machine learning-based technology that can provide a more efficient solution for grading produce. The e-commerce giant is developing a computer vision-based grading solution that would incorporate machine learning into the analysis of produce images to assess defects. Business Standard reports that the company is planning on building a conveyor belt-based automatic grading and packing machine. During a recent event, Amazon India's Vice President of Machine Learning, Rajiv Rastogi, explained that manually examining individual pieces of produce with human eyes is just not scalable to millions of quality assessments per day. Amazon is working toward combining machine learning capabilities into hardware that will be able to pack produce into predetermined quality grades. The gradient pack machine will reportedly have the capacity to reduce grading costs by nearly 80% compared to manual grading methods. I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
This is Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. More agriculture news and farm features are coming up.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. Wild Eye reminds growers to clean your solar panels and check your irrigation systems before irrigation season starts to ensure best performance. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at www.mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. Three sources familiar with the matter told resources that the Environmental Protection Agency's biofuel blending mandates for this year and next will be in line with those from 2020. The agency is said to be accounting for weaker fuel demand since the onset of COVID-19. That would mean the U.S. refining industry would avoid adding costs normally associated with the usual expansion in renewable volume obligations under the Renewable Fuel Standard. That will come at the expense of biofuel producers and the corn industry, which depend on regular increases to expand their businesses. The required amounts of biofuels that refiners must blend into the nation's fuel supply usually increase annually in hopes of reducing foreign petroleum imports and helping the nation's farmers. Former President Trump delayed the 2021 proposal because of COVID-19 and the 2020 election. The EPA says it intends to issue both the 2021 and 2022 volumes proposals later this summer. In the last ruling back in 2019, the EPA mandated that American refiners blend 20.09 billion gallons of renewable fuel into the nation's fuel mix for the 2020 compliance year. That mandate included 15 billion gallons of conventional biofuels like ethanol. The upcoming volume proposals are expected to largely be the same amounts. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday. Now here's Danielle Leal with the Trade Authority promotion story.
Trade Promotion Authority is expiring with no trade deals in sight. NAFB is reporting that the Trade Promotion Authority to speed up trade deals through Congress without deal-killing amendments is expiring, but there are no new trade deals in sight, risking imminent TPA expiration. TPA is the linchpin for getting U.S. trade deals approved, but with a 90-day notification requirement ahead of a July 1st expiration already passed and no trade deals on the table, TPA is all but expired. American Farm Bureau Trade Advisor Dave Samuelson says Congress could extend the formal deadline, but adds,
at a certain point, though, and it doesn't seem like there's any trade agreements right now ready to be submitted, I think the administration and Congress at some point will have to get together and work on a new trade promotion authority. But as we heard last week with Ambassador Tai, spoke to both Senate Finance and House Ways and Means Committee hearings, it doesn't sound like they're quite ready yet to really engage with that issue.
And there's pressure to do so. South Dakota U.S. Senator John Thune to Ambassador Tai at last week's Finance Committee hearing said,
I think when asked in February whether you support TPA renewal, you stated that you would consult closely with Congress and work to pursue trade policies that receive bipartisan support. All of that's welcome, but we need leadership from the administration in order to move TPA forward.
And AFBF Samuelson says farm groups also want to move forward on trade.
We've got a lot to sell, and we'd like more places to sell it on the level playing field. Several negotiations are teed up. They were started, say, last year with both the talks with the United Kingdom. The negotiations started with Kenya. Again, I know they're under review, but those are, I would think, can be restarted and go ahead. And there's other ones that are also there can move ahead, of course, with China, with Japan.
The Biden administration's position, reflected in Tai's testimony last week, is that top-to-bottom trade deals, reviews, and getting past the pandemic must come first, while TPA and other trade moves must have a bipartisan support. Again, NAFB contributed to this report. Reporting for AgNet West Radio Network, I'm Danielle Leal.
In today's Livestock Report, there's more support for the Department of Justice investigation looking into anti-competitive practices in the beef processing market. Courtesy of Jody Heemstra of the Dakota Radio Group, senators from South Dakota and Minnesota launched a bipartisan nationwide effort to protect consumers and cattlemen from what they call the anti-competitive practices in the beef processing market. South Dakota Republican Senator Mike Rounds says he and Minnesota Democrat Senator Tina Smith are inviting members of Congress to join them in signing an open letter to the U.S. Department of Justice.
The reasoning for it is that even though we've done a series of letters in the past, we've never done the extra work to lay out for the Department of Justice the reason why we believe that antitrust discussions have to occur and why we believe that consumers and cattle producers are both on the short end of the stick when it comes to current pricing. Consumers are continuing to pay high prices in the grocery market, while our cattle producers are getting not even enough money to pay the bills right now or to pay for the cost of raising the livestock.
Round says they're asking the DOJ to examine whether the control large meat packers have over the beef processing market violates U.S. antitrust laws and principles of fair competition.
We went back through, we looked at what the reasoning was, and for the first time, I think the Department of Justice is going to receive a letter from Congress not only saying, please investigate whether or not antitrust activity is occurring within the cattle market, but also here's the reason why we believe it may be happening, and this is our justification for asking you to take this investigation as quickly as possible and complete it. This is the third time that we've sent one of these letters, but this is the one which is the most comprehensive.
Round says consumers should be standing alongside cattle producers in the request to get more information about how the current cattle market is operating.
And now we need to bring in and to explain to consumers the reason why they need to talk to their members of Congress to get them involved as well, because it's not just the cattle producers, the cow-calf guys, the feeders and so forth that are on the short end of the stick here. It's the consumer that's paying a high price for meat in the supermarket. And in the middle of it sits four large packers that currently control between 80 and 85% of the market. Our antitrust laws in place, I think, should stop this type of what I believe to be market manipulation.
Round said he and Smith encourage state leaders and organizations to join them in asking for the DOJ investigation. So far, at least two cattle groups with South Dakota members are applauding the request. RCAF USA has launched a nationwide 10-day campaign to get 200 members of the Senate and House to join Rounds and Smith by adding their name to the bipartisan letter. This is Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. We'll be right back.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining mean sustainable agriculture. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. Wild Eye reminds growers to clean your solar panels and check your irrigation systems before irrigation season starts to ensure best performance. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at www.mywildeye.com. Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm Taylor Hillman. As we mentioned in the beginning of the show, another FDA report regarding salmonella outbreaks pointed the finger towards adjacent land use. FDA has said in two consecutive reports now that produce growers should assess things like livestock operations near their fields and what waterways they may share. California's Leafy Greens Marketing Association put out some preliminary guidelines for their growers earlier this month. Chairman Dan Sutton said there isn't enough hard data for this issue yet, but they are doing what they can now to help address the issue. We're now talking with California Leafy Greens Marketing Association Chairman Dan Sutton. Dan, first and foremost, how are you, sir?
Doing well, thank you. Thanks for talking with me this morning.
We're talking today because LGMA put out pre-harvest guidance, basically some testing guidance for growers to be able to have some data around adjacent land use and maybe some thresholds there to be able to go out and do some testing if they hit these thresholds. Now, these guidelines were kind of in response to the FDA's report that mentions adjacent land use concerns in this report they just put out. So this is a proactive move. This is a responsive move, right?
It's that's one way of looking at it. But what it also is, too, is getting our leafy greens community to look at things just a little bit differently. We are aware that adjacent land use is needing to be addressed. And what this guidance does is actually gives a baseline for our entire leafy greens community to really look at your adjacent land uses. And then what was given out will provide some baseline measurements that if these conditions exist, pre-harvest testing should be conducted.
No, I think this is good. It's something where, you say adjacent, that's a very broad term. So it's some suggested distance from things like feeding operations, grazing lands, hobby farms. And a lot of producers need that before they can move forward with stuff because adjacent, again, is kind of an undefined term.
Correct. And since the beginning of LGMA, there's been a very strong focus on what we have control of on our farm. So what we do on our farm, but that spectrum has grown and we're needing to become more observant because even though we may not be in control of our adjacent land neighbor, we have to be aware of the potential risks that may pose to the product that we're growing on our farm. So this is a way to get that information out, to put some guidance in place, and honestly, to better our entire leafy greens community.
Well, definitely. And, something like 90% of the leafy greens are grown in the Central Coast and in the Arizona desert areas. And there's cattle all over those areas. So it's something that we need to be cognizant of as an industry. And that's what you guys are doing here. This is a responsive action you're doing.
Correct. And it's it is in response to the FDA investigative report that was issued earlier in April. But it's also important to mention that when adjacent land use became more of a concern, when adjacent land use became more of a consideration, LGMA put in place a subcommittee to address adjacent land use. And that subcommittee went into place back in 2019. What was released this week is actually just a small portion of the work that that subcommittee has been doing. But we felt it was really important to at least get the guidance out for industry in what we had when it came to adjacent land use with animal operations, because the committee has a much bigger set of guidance that will be coming out that's being worked through. But we did have this part done, and we felt it was important, again, in response to the recommendations that FDA had handed down to industry, that we get this part out as soon as we could.
No, that's good. I mean, between your guys' subcommittee, the California Ag Neighbors Program, this longitudinal study that's going on, I think that is a good form for the industry saying, we are looking at this, we're taking this seriously.
Yeah, and you had mentioned several moving pieces that are going on right now. And, you know, the Good Ag Neighbor workshops, the longitudinal study, the work that LGMA is doing, the work that our producers are doing. And the reason those are all in play is because there's not going to be one single entity that's going to be able to address this concern alone. So we are looking to a very broad spectrum, looking at this concern from multiple angles. And by the time this is all said and done, it is our hope that we really have some very defined science, some very defined things that we can do to address this concern. But we're going to have to keep working in a collaborative manner to get to that point.
Well, I think the industry is just as tired as everybody else of seeing E. coli situations pop up every November. And you guys are frustrated too. It's not just consumer safety is as important to you guys as everybody else. So I think that's the point here is, you know, getting some science behind it, getting some actionable data. That's the point, right?
It is. And to your point, you know, it is frustrating. It is emotionally draining when these outbreaks occur. It really goes to the heart. For my example personally, the very romaine that I am growing to put out into the marketplace is the exact same romaine that I'm bringing home to my family to eat. And when these types of events occur, it hits home. And we immediately go into the mindset of what do we need to do better? What don't we know? We need to figure this out. We need to find this. And that's the effort that are being conducted now. And it's an effort because we do want to prevent this. We do want to protect our consumers. We do want to protect public safety and health. And we want to learn what we don't know and apply that to what we do so that we can do our best to prevent this from happening.
We'll conclude the interview with California LGMA's chairman, Dan Sutton, after the break.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's by goterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley, state, and nation, and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. Wild Eye reminds growers to clean your solar panels and check your irrigation systems before irrigation season starts to ensure best performance. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today at www.mywildeye.com.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. The USDA published its 90-day progress report on climate-smart agriculture and forestry. The agency says it represents an important step toward President Biden's executive order on tackling the climate crisis at home and abroad, and the shift towards a whole-of-department approach to solutions. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says, quote, "With the right tools and partnerships, American agriculture and forestry can lead the world in solutions that will increase climate resistance, sequester carbon, enhance agricultural productivity, and maintain critical environmental benefits." At this pivotal time, the president has called upon USDA to develop a strategy for climate-smart agriculture and forestry as part of a whole-of-government effort to addressing the climate crisis, unquote. He also says central to USDA's approach is the concept of whatever the agency does must work for farmers, ranchers, and landowners. The goal is to combat the climate crisis and conserve and protect the nation's lands, biodiversity, and natural resources like soil, air, and water. Through research, conservation practices, and partnerships, USDA is looking to find solutions to agricultural challenges, enhancing economic growth, and create new streams of income for farmers, ranchers, producers, and private foresters. More information on the progress report is available at www.usda.gov. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
We've been listening to California LGMA Chairman Dan Sutton about their new guidelines for growers in regards to adjacent land concerns and the issue of the lack of data available to put out actionable plans. Here's the rest of the interview. There were some media reports saying that the FDA report that just came out that suggested the industry start taking a look at these adjacent lands was a warning shot to the industry. I didn't take it that way, but is that, did you guys take it that way? Do you feel like something is coming down the road, or is it just, hey, let's start looking at this and work together?
So there's a lot of opinions on that. I would say that the message that FDA was delivering was heard loud and clear. And, you know, we, and again, that is in part why we released a very small segment of the technical subcommittee's work in response to that, because we do hear it loud and clear. And we can't wait for the longitudinal study to conclude, because that's going to take a lot of time. A lot of these efforts are going to take time, but this was an effort to do something now that we had been working on, that we knew would be useful, we knew would educate our leafy greens community as a whole. And again, back to your original question, we are hearing the FDA loud and clear, and we are working on it.
Again, thanks to Sutton for taking time for Agnet West. Now here's Brian German again before we wrap up today's show.
The American Land Board is hosting a video contest for producers as an opportunity to provide consumers with insight into lamb production. Lamb producers have the chance to tell their personal lamb story through the video contest, which runs through May 31st. The videos will be judged in three different categories. The animal care category will highlight the producers' practices in caring for and protecting their sheep. Care of the land videos will demonstrate how producers practice sustainability and care for the land under their stewardship. The flocks and family category will highlight the family life of producers and how raising sheep has enriched their lives. The three winners will receive a $500 gift certificate to Premier One Supplies, as well as being promoted through ALB's social media channels as a lambassador. Videos will need to be between 5 and 7 minutes long, with submissions being accepted at AmericanLandBoard.Submittable.com.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com. You can follow Agnet West on Twitter and Facebook with @AgnetWest. Follow Brian German with @BrianAgnetWest, Danielle Leal with @DLealAgnetWest, and Taylor Hillman with @TheManOfTheHill. This has been Farm City Newsday by Agnet West.